Okay, so as I promised you, this year, for most of the year, we will focus on actual Perush HaTfilah. So here's the rule, right? Here's going to be my methodology. It's a methodology taken from the Rishonim, expressed quite clearly in the Abu Jaham. Abu Jaham is from the Beis Medrash in the Ramban. He wrote a Perush HaTfilah. That's basically what he's known for, of David Abu Jaham. This methodology also appears in the Reb Ben Yakar, who's Rashi's Rebbe. It is the favored one amongst many modern academics, some of which who think they made it up, most of them who are aware of the fact that they are borrowing from the Rishonim. But the assumption of the Rishonim was basically that if you want to understand Tefillah, you need to understand what parts of Tanakh Chazal are influenced by in the writing of their Brachot, right, in the writing of Tefillah. And if you get that, then you will be surprised by what the Tefillah actually mean in their original context. But before we actually see the verse Bracha, let us prove that this is a legitimate methodological move to make. So if you look at number one, this is the Hakadamah to the Abu Jaham. The Abu Jaham writes, Mitzvah Rasim and Atar La'avod Hashem B'Tefillah. It's a positive mitzvah to serve God through prayer. V'gam Eilin Tefillah V'inyan Min HaTorah. Now we know biblically there are no number. There's no set number to prayer. Kol Echad V'Echad B'Chavana G'mura Mitpalel B'Chol Eich Yirtzeh Im'at V'im Harbeh Ya'aleh L'Ratzon V'Yiratzeh. Everyone davens as much, as little as they want, with kavana, and they'll be accepted. And this was the rule. This is how the world worked until Galut. Okay, this is from the Rambam. We know this. Yes? Good. This is halacha gimel dalet in the Rambam. And when they were in Galut, they spoke all types of languages. Right? There was no true language. There was nothing. Yes? Okay, this is the Rambam. So what did they do? Kasher Rashu on Shekin Esek Dola Azod Harachala Amra Amru Lechuvin El Chabor Elokeinu Nishama Parim Svatenu. When Chazal saw how bad the world was, they said, "Let us, right, make prayers to fill the role of Karbanot, and Achamu Kol Avdatenu L'Takena Tefila Hanikreit Avodah, and set up, establish prayer, which is called Avodah." Right, in beautiful language, pure language. He says this obviously in rhyme. And take away, right, the illness of the foreign languages. So that it'll be fluent in everyone's mouth. So until everyone spoke the same language and davening. And he made Shmoneh Esrei, the age of Chalada. And now he's his methodological point. You should know. Ki lashon ha-tfilah hu miyusar alashon ha-mikra. The language of tfilah is based on the language of Psukim. V'chein kimtza katuv, v'feirish hazeh al-kol mila u-mila pasuk kama u-me'en yana. And therefore, on every word in tfilah, you will find the parallel pasuk. Sometimes, very rarely, tefillot are based not on psukim, but purely on midrashic readings, and then I will quote the midrash. Okay, but most of the time, tefillah is a commentary on, or perspective on, or derived from, right, those are all slightly different, but based on psukim. And to be fair, he's not making this up. If you look at number two, this is a Gemara in Psachim, just to prove to you that Chazal believed this is what they were doing. Patach ve'amar, hamavdil ben kodesh l'chol ben or l'choshech ben Yisrael amin ben yom ha'shvi l'sheshim ha'maaseh. In the context of Havdalah. Right? This should sound familiar.
Yeah.
Yes, we're good. Amar lei lama l'cha chu lei ha. He said, why do you say so many different differentiations, so many Havdalot? What are you saying? Etc. Right, Because I hold like the position that you must say between 3 and 7, or 3 and 7, 3 or 7, whatever. Amar le, v'hamar lo tlat, amar lo sheva, amar, he said, you said neither 3 nor 7. Amar le, ivra ben yom ha-shvila sheshi me'amaseh, me'in chatima. He said, one of those doesn't count, because it's me'in ha-chatima. Okay, fine. But then the Gemara says, in Amar b'shuv ben Levi, ha-mavdil sarich she'omar me'in havdalot ha-amurot batara. If you want to say any of the havdalot, any differentiations, you must take them from the Torah. The theme must be from the Torah. Yes.
So couldn't we? So we could say like Hamavdil. We talk about like the lower and higher waters.
The Gemara brings a list of them. Hamavdil ben Maimer Yonin Maimer Tachtonim. Hamavdil ben Kohanim Levim Yisraelim. The Gemara brings a whole bunch of other possibilities that were said in Ochanami. Yeah. Yes, exactly. Good. In that light, let us now turn finally to the first bracha of Shmoneh Esrei, and let us try to understand what it means. Okay. We can go in order of the bracha, or we can pick out which parts of it you are most interested in. It's all on this. Anything I'm going to say in the first bracha, I think, is on this page, okay? So the first bracha, Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu ve'elokei avoteinu. Elokei Abraham, Elokei Yitzchak, ve'elokei Yaakov. Hakel lagadol agibar v'anarag, elyon gomel chazim tovim, v'koni Yaakov zocher stevot, maybe goel v'nei v'neim l'man shmo b'yava, Baruch atah Hashem, mogein Abraham. Okay.
One of the Melech Hazer Mashiach Magain.
What?
The Melech Hazer Mashiach Magain.
Yeah, what about?
Did you say that? I don't think you said that.
Yes, I did. Melech Hazer Mashiach. That what?
No.
I read from a sitter. I don't know what. I think I said
it. I didn't hear it.
Okay. Anyways, right? We say right. Baruch Atah Hashem. That this may deserve a shir in of itself, probably. But let's focus just on unique for the first bracha. So we start off uniquely of the bracha with. Let's just write note things that are interesting here, right? Yaakov. Right, we start with introducing God, so to speak, as the God of our forefathers, and then delineate them. Then you get this list of praises. Hakel Agadol Kel Yon, Tovim Yaakov. Right, he is awesome and great and powerful and or big and powerful and awesome, supreme Lord. Who gives great kindness and kone hakol, which is a bit hard to translate, in Tanakh probably means created all, right? Or those are related, right? Hashem kini reshit darko. And he brings geula, he brings redemption to the children's children for his name, and the king who aids, saves, and shields.
That sounds very similar.
Yes. Baruch had Hashem again, Avraham. Okay. Let's try in order. Okay. Why does it start? Elokeinu, Elokei Avoteinu, Elokei Abraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Where is that from, and what might that tell us about the first bracha? Where is that from in Torah?
Moshe.
Good. Where?
At the burning bush.
Very good. Look at number 3. Good, Zev. Good. So Zev got it right. Look at number 3. This is Perek Gimel in Shmot. Vayomer. Right, Moshe approaches the burning bush, and he says, "Vayomer al tikrav halom." God tells him, "Do not approach." Al nalecha me'al raglecha, kim akom mashata omed alav admat kodeshu. Do not approach, for the land that you stand on is holy. Vayomer, and he says, "Anochi Elohei Avicha, Elohei Avraham, Elohei Yitzchak, Elohei Yaakov." Vayester Moshe panav ki yarei mi'abit el ha'elohim. He said, "I am God." The God of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. No, I should be very careful there. The God of Avram, the God of Yitzchak, and the God of Yaakov. Right, specifically that phrase, right? Not Elkei Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. Elkei Avram, Elkei Yitzchak, Elkei Yaakov.
Individually.
Right, that is the phrase that we have in it. Now, the classic vort that on this, I think, is true. Right, the fact that it is put that way, not Elkei Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, but Elkei Avram, Elkei Yitzchak, Elkei Yaakov, indicates that the relationship that each of the Avot had with God is distinct, right? And that means something different. I think that's true. But I think you look at these psukim and it is clear that this is, right? This is where these words come from. But now let me ask you, what is the purpose of invoking specifically this description of God? What does that tell you about the beginning of Yes.
I've heard that it's about that we invoke Zechut HaAvot.
So yeah, sure, Zechut HaAvot. Great. Good. What else?
You're in like a Kodesh space.
Okay, good. Right? You're in a Kodesh space. Good. What else? Come on, what's going on in this story?
God has it's a personal relationship with each individual.
Yeah, good. And what else? All these are true. So let me ask you, not just why is this in Tefillah, why does this start Tefillah?
It shows that we're continuing a relationship. Like
no! Punkt verkehrt. Come on. I mean, yes and no.
Oh, it's the beginning of Moshe's...
Yes! This is the beginning! This is an introduction! We picked something from... Moshe didn't know who God was! Right? He never talked to him. This is how you start the conversation. Now, maybe it's because of what Rafi said, which is... You start a conversation by establishing this really isn't a new relationship, right? That makes it easier. But yes, the perfect way to start Shemona Esrei is from a conversation in which Moshe
starts
his conversation with God, right? So we borrow the language from the first time Moshe ever has a conversation with God, and we put it at the beginning of Shemona Esrei. That is a perfect thing to do. Now, what else is true of that first moment? So yes, and once we're doing that, we invoke Zechut Avot. Yes, we do. Good. But remember, this is actually not about Zechut Avot. Meaning, in the original context, it's not about Zechut Avot. Because, who says, Elkei Avraham, Elkei Yitzchak, Elkei Yaakov?
God.
Thank you, right? This is not about Zechut Avot as much as it is... Yeah, it's an introduction. Right? It's God introducing himself. So we invoke that, and... Right? Yes, maybe for Zechut Avot, but fundamentally it was going on his introduction. But what else? Right? What else is true of that moment that might make sense in the first bracha? Let's think mindset. Think mindset. What are you thinking? How comfortable are you?
Beginning from Moshe, right? Moshe was very uncomfortable.
Good! Moshe doesn't think he's worthy. Yeah. Right? This introduction is... Right? Think about it. The first time you meet God... Right, you're initiating Shemona Esrei. We already said Hashem Tzvotai Tiftach Ufi Agiti Lodecha. You don't assume that God is going to listen to you. You're asking Him. Now, by the way, does Hashem Tzvotai Tiftach now take on deeper meaning when you realize that that's the introduction to Moshe's first speech? And what does Moshe say to God?
Arel Sifatayim.
Yes, I don't know how to talk. Arel Sifatayim. I can't do what you want me to do because I can't talk.
Nice.
Right? Yes, exactly. So He says to him. Vayomer Adonai ro ra'iti ani ami asher b'mitzrayim v'tzakatam shamadim v'neinu k'sav ki adati id machovav va'er latzilo miyad mitzrayim lalotom min haaretz ahi al eretz tova rechava al eretz avat chalav u'dvash amakom ha'kanani v'chiti v'amari v'aprizi v'achivi v'ali. You see, I've seen the suffering of my children and I'm going to save them. I'm going to take them to the promised land of the seven nations. V'ata hini tzaka b'nei Yisrael boi la'adigam ra'iti ralach adesher mitzrayim lo chatzim otam. And I've seen their stress. I've seen the pressure. Vata v'chavesh l'cha parov otzer ami b'nei Yisrael mimitzrayim. So I'm sending you to save them. Vayomer Moshe Elohim. Mi anochi keilecha parov v'chiotzi et b'nei Yisrael mimitzrayim. And Moshe says, who am I that I can do what you asked me to do? Vayomer ki ehyeimach v'zelecha ot ke anochi shlachticha. He says, because I'll be with you and here's the sign. Botzi acharam mimitzrayim tavdun et Elohim al haaretz, that you will serve me here. Vayomer Moshe Elohim, inenochi vayel b'nei Yisrael, v'amarta lehem, Elohei avoteichem shelochani lechem. V'emru li mashmo ma'amar lehem. Now it's even better, right? What? Now continue the speech. What does Moshe say? I'm going to go to the Jewish people and I'm going to introduce myself as the God that I was sent by the God of the Avot. And they're going to say, yeah, what's his name? And what's he going to say?
Heck yeah, sure.
Yeah, vayomer Moshe, yeah, sure, yeah. Vayomer kotem rav in Israel, yesh lochani lechem. Right? Tell them that my name is just right? What?
I will be.
But think about what's going on here. Meaning, right? We start up Shemona Esrei with, not really with God, right? Not His name. What do we say? We say Baruch Hashem, but then we say, right? The key to the phrase of Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov is I'll be with you, and that's it, right? Meaning. It's not about his name for as much as relationship. Right? That's what someone said that, right? Meaning, the psukim we're invoking tell us, Vayomer od Elohim Moshe, Kotomra ben Yisrael, Adonai Elohei Avotichem, Elohei Abraham, Elohei Yitzchak, Elohei Yaakov, Shelachani Elohechem, Ze Shmi Leolam, Ze Zichri, Lador Vador. This is how you should know me, as the God of your forefathers. Right? So we start off Shemona Esrei, first of all, with the psukim that are Moshe and the Jewish people's original introduction as a people to God. Because what's going on? Moshe said, the people are also going to say, who are you? And what's God going to say? I am what I am. And what am I? Okay, Abraham, okay, you want to know what I am? Right? That should be sufficient. So yes, it's about Zechut Avot. It's about saying, even if we don't know God and we're uncomfortable, right? We have a pre-existing relationship and therefore we have a right, so to speak, to talk to Him. So we invoke that scene as we start Shmoneh Esrei. Because just like Moshe, didn't know what he was doing, didn't know what God was, but he started off by saying, right, but he starts off his initiation into the relationship as God saying, but you deserve to be here because I have a relationship with your forefathers. And when the Jewish people ask, well, what right do we have to be here? Just say, well, my name is, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Tell them, right? And that will convince them. Now, we can add other things, right? Obviously, by invoking the Pesukim, so as I said, yes, part of it is that the continuation is that Moshe doesn't want to be sent because he's worried that he's a real Svatayim, and therefore we start a Shmoneh Esrei with Hashem Svatayim Tivtach Ufi Agiti L'Adecha. Right? We're worried that we won't know how to talk, so we start off with Moshe, who also didn't, who was afraid he didn't know how to talk. If you look at the Midrash commenting on this on these Pesukim, in number 4, how do Chazal understand these? So he says, "Ein peti lashon pitui kama detema v'chivate ish." So it's really the second line. Amar Yeshua, HaKohen bar Nechemya, Bishah shenigle HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Moshe, Tirona ya Moshe l'nevua. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, im nigle ani alav v'kol gadol ani mavito, v'kol namuch boser hu al ha-nevua. God had a dilemma when he introduced himself to Moshe. He said, I'll terrify him. If I speak in too gentle of a voice. I'm not going to take me seriously. So ma'asa, what did God do? What did God do? Nigle alav bikolo shel aviv. He spoke in the voice of Amram, Moshe's father. Amar Moshe, hineni ma'aba mevakesh. And Moshe said, what is exactly what my father want? Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, eini avicha. I'm not your father, Elokei avicha, but the God of your father. But I came, I bribed, seduced you, whatever, so that you wouldn't be afraid. Elohei Avraham, Elohei Yitzchak, Elohei Yaakov, Samach Moshe, Amar, Ha'aba nimneh ma'avod v'od ashu gadol sheniskar p'chila. And he said, whoa, that's great. Because my father is counted amongst the fathers.
Well, did
right? So what is the Midrash, how does the Midrash understand this?
I have a lot of questions about this.
How does the Midrash understand this phrase of Elokeinu? Right, Elokei Avoteinu, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. It's not a colon. The God of our fathers, i.e. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov.
It's the fathers and Avraham.
Yes, it's literal, our fathers, meaning this is not just the Avot, the patriarchs. We're invoking God's name as having had a relationship with all of our fathers, meaning everything up to including. And here's another point. What does the Midrash think? Right? Listen to the Midrash's Parshanut on the Psukim that we now put at the beginning of Shmoneh Esrei, that God introduces himself in that way, so that Moshe will be comfortable entering into a relationship with God. Those are the psukim we choose to start Shmoneh Esrei with. Right? By saying God has a relationship with the Avot, with our personal parents, meaning we are the next link in a chain, but it's continuous, and God does that to make us comfortable, to make us realize that we can have a relationship with Him. Right? That, and all the associations, yes, Chud Avot, and all of that, right, all of that is pulled in right at the beginning of Shmoneh Esrei. And you think about it, thematically, it makes a tremendous amount of sense. Now, there's more to it. Why does God introduce him as himself as the God of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? To justify what?
Taking them out of Egypt.
Yes, that he heard their cries and he wants to save them. Which, of course, what is the theme in the end of the day of the first bracha?
God.
Right, Geula, Magen Avraham, protection, salvation, right? Meaning that for these psukim is definitional to the fact that God has a relationship with the Avot, is that He's going to save their children.
Right.
which is again the theme of the first bracha. Right? That is part of what Hashem does. Okay. Let's continue in the bracha. Then we describe God as Akel HaGadol HaGibor HaNara El Elyon. That God is great and powerful and awesome and supreme. Okay?
Yeah.
Good. Where's that from?
Egel.
Why do we say those? What?
Egel. Or the Yud Gimel Yisrael.
So here we actually know that it's right? So let's look at a Gemara. First, let me prove that these are chosen on purpose. Right? Let me prove that. And these and no others. So the Gemara in number 5 tells you, this Gemara appears twice in Shas, someone went to Bichaz and Chanina was there, and Amar Akel HaGadol HaGibor V'Hanora V'Hadir V'Chazak V'Hamitz. He continued, the great, the courageous, the etc. Amar Lei, Siyamtinu L'Shivchei D'Marach, said, what are you finished? You're finished praising God. He said, you can't just add praises. Because the only het there for us to say these praises is
because
the Anshei Knesset Gedolah said it. And where did they get it from? From Moshe. So what does Chazal tell us right off the bat?
We're not capable of saying all the praises. Therefore,
yeah, but more, for our purposes, it's more than that. Yes, we can't just say a million praises, because if you do, what'll happen? Right? He says, "Mashallah, Adam Shelo Elef Alfei Alafim Dinarei Zavag Magazado Be Elef Dinarei Kesef Lo Ginayulo." Right? It's like saying if someone's a billionaire, you say, "Wow, he has $500." Right? I mean, it's true, but that's just an insult. Right? So the Midrash says theoretically, what should we never be allowed to do?
Praise God.
Praise God Bechlal. What's the only reason we can?
Because
we borrow from the Torah. And we borrowed these. Which tells you, right, this is about as explicit a source as you want. That we need things from the Torah, and the ones that Chazal chose, they chose for a reason. That's what he says. If Moshe hadn't said these, and the Anshei Knesset Gedolah hadn't chosen those praises, then you couldn't say it. Which means that these were chosen on purpose. Good.
But the other praises aren't in this Gemara either.
What?
The other praises that we say aren't in this Gemara either.
This is just Akel HaGadol HaGibor V'Hanara. Akel HaGadol HaGibor V'Hanara. Akel Elyon is from another pasuk. We'll get there. Akel HaGadol HaGibor V'Hanara. Good. What do Chazal think those pasukim mean? What do those words mean?
That it's great, awesome, and...
Yeah, what does that mean?
I can't think of any yet. Like,
what does it mean? What does it mean for God to be great? What does that? What does any of that mean?
It's God maybe power over the world to control. I don't know.
He's the source of power.
So Chazal actually tell you explicitly, right? Look at the Yerushalmi. Daniel Omar, Hakel Hagadol Vahanara. Right? These psukim aren't just from Moshe. These are found throughout Tanakh. So Daniel uses them. What does Daniel leave out?
Gibor.
Gibor. Amar ha-gibor. Banav misurim b'klorin heichanu gvaratel. Because Daniel said, Vura means? Vura means? What did Daniel clearly think, according to Chazal? That gibor means? He left out gibor because he said, your children are given over b'klorin, meaning they are in chains. Mm. And you say Gibor, so what did he think the word Gibor meant?
Oh, like a Jewish sovereignty? Like...
Yeah, meaning powerful against the enemies of the Jews. V'lama amara anora, lazen no'elikrot nora, b'noracha asu, lanu b'kiv shanesh. So why did he say awesome? Why did Daniel keep awesome? Because they were in Galut. Because he saw God's awesomeness. So according to this, what does awesome mean?
Miracles.
Performs miracles. Right? The Anshei Knesset Hagdola added it. Hakel Hagdola Gibor V'Hanara. V'dam Yitzchokach Liten Kitzva L'Dvarim Halal. And Reizkom Halal Ziyodin En Neviim Shelohen Amitiv En En Machnifin Lo. Right, they return the Gdula. Why do they return the Gdula? Right, so, right. I probably should put the Bavli also. Why do they do it? Because
they regained
His gvura is that he's kovesh rachamav, right? That he wants to save the Jewish people, but
they don't deserve it.
Right? They don't deserve it, and he lets them be punished because they need to be punished. Well, what does that already tell you from this Gemara? Right, that Chazal have not just, they don't just copy from Sukkim, but what do? They have a particular idea in mind of what it means that God is Hakel HaGadol HaGiborah HaNora. Right, now if you look at Rabbeinu Yonah says halachically, the Yesh Mefarshim Davka B'Shemot HaTohar Kegon Elu Ein Lanu La'arich. Maybe you're only not allowed to add names, but you can add descriptors. Avol b'dvarim shel shevach mishabech l'makom sha'asayim anu nisim neflaot mesaper otam eino asur. If you actually say God did X and Y miracle, it is mutter. Right? What's his logic? Correct. You're saying something concrete. The chiddush of these is that actually describing God, we can only do what the psukim say. Right? And then he says, v'nir shafil b'zen yanin lo ha'larech. But he says, I disagree. Right? I disagree. Because he says, because he said, at the end of the day, the problem is that you're not supposed to add praises. Maybe you said, that's only if you add it in the chotem. Okay. But he says, but if you want to do it, you want to add shevach, you know what I would suggest? What do you think he's going to suggest? Yes, thank you. Ed Psukim. Right? I think that Kedelatzit Misafek, Zeshami Yitzel, Arich, Meshevach Makom, Barucho, Shiom Ardom Kibipsukim, Vemja Psukim, Meshevach Makom, Dechri Psukim, and Bachachlum. You read Psukim, it'll be fine.
Wait, Psukim with the Torah for?
Good.
Wait, does that include Nach or not?
What?
Is that including Nach or not?
Yeah, it includes Nach, Bali. Okay. But now let me really surprise you here, okay? Good. Akela, Gadola, Giborva, Nara. Very good. What do those words mean? Let's try this again. We already saw that Chazal say it's counterintuitive. Right? Daniel thought that Gibor meant strong, like conquers the enemies, and therefore he took it out. Anshe Kenosha Gadola put it back. They have a new interpretation. Good. What do these words even mean? What does it mean that God is great? What does it mean he's strong? What does that mean?
So it seems like here Gibor means merciful.
What does it mean?
That he's capable of doing
everything.
Happens. Good. Have you not figured it out yet? How are we going to know what it means? Sukkim, thank you. Where does it come from? It comes from Dvarim Perek Yud. Umaltem et orlad levavchem, arpechem lo tikshu od. You shall circumcise the foreskin of your heart and no longer harden right the back of your neck. Ki Adonai Elohechem, hu Elohei ha'elohim v'adonei adonim. Ha'el ha'gadol ha'gibor v'hanora.
Is the Torah recommending heart surgery? Open heart surgery?
Asher lo yisaf anim lekach shochad. God who doesn't accept bribery, osem mishpat, yatel v'almana v'ger latet lo lechem v'simla. V'ahavtem v'nager ki gerim me'item b'eretz Mitzrayim. He does the justice of the yatom, of the orphan, and of the widow. He loves the ger to give him food and clothing. Good. What does gibor mean in this psukim? What's the problem? There's an ambiguity here. What does ha-keel ha-gadol ha-gibor v'anara mean in this psukim? What does it mean?
It seems to have to do with mercy. And how, taking care of those.
So, one possibility is what Rafi says. That you think that gadol gibor means that God is powerful, wins in war. You're wrong. What does it mean that God is powerful and great and awesome?
That he takes care of
the people on the fringes of society. The Atom Malmana. That's one way of reading the pasuk. What's the other way of reading the pasuk?
Even though.
Come on, you skipped a phrase. Ravi skipped a phrase.
God is true and like can't be swayed by
meaning.
By, come on.
It means he's powerful. Meaning possibility one is that power means that God is kind. Yes. What's the other possibility?
You can't control him.
And therefore, Gadol Gibor Vanara doesn't mean kind. It means that he can't be controlled. And therefore, once he can't be controlled, he uses the fact that he's not bribable to
do the right thing.
But, right? So Now the upshot is similar, right? The upshot is similar, right?
Right.
I mean, either we're saying that God's greatness is that He's kind to those who are weak, or that He's both powerful, and the fact that He's powerful is what enables Him to not have to worry about other powerful people, right, or other powerful beings, and therefore can take care of it. But either way, is that what you would have said, right? What would you have thought that the point of being Gibor is? What Daniel thought. But if you actually look, according to Gemara, but if you look at the Chumash, what does it mean that God is Gibor? Either that He's kind, or that He's capable of being kind because He's so powerful. Right? And the emphasis is Likach Shochad. And what are you supposed to learn from the fact that God either is powerful, therefore He's kind, or is powerful and therefore can be kind, according to the Psukim Devarim?
Then you should do it.
Yes! Right? That you should do it. Right? Because you're supposed to imitate God. Which means that how do we start from an Esrei? Right? We don't start by God's power in the classic sense that everyone thinks about it. Right? Did you ever realize that's not why we're starting from an Esrei?
No.
We're starting from an Esrei by saying that either. Now, L'may Nafkamina between these two Perushim, right? One is that we're starting it off by saying Akela Gadol Yibar Vanara to emphasize the fact that God is going to be, we're asking God to be kind, but God's kindness is His power is His kindness. Yeah, the other way, as similar as it is actually different. What words are we actually focusing on? No, which is Lo Yikach Shochad, that we can't bribe you, God. Right? Meaning, which of those is fundamental? Right? Meaning, why are we starting with these psukim? Is it because we want God's kindness, and God's power is His kindness?
What does that mean, His power is His kindness?
So look at the Ramban. Right? Look at number 9, the Ramban. Umaltem et olat levavchem. Shiyeh levavchem patuach ledar emet. But you want your hearts to be open to the truth. Lo kasher asitim ad hayom. Not like you did until now. Shalot natena ashidim lechem leiv ladat. Ve'naim lerot ve'oznaim lishmo. You don't know what's going on. Varbachem lo takshu od. Shalot yu kaboteichem dor sore umore. Don't be like your parents who were rebellious. Shiyashvu im amitzrim ve'lamdu ma'asim. Who learned from the Egyptians. Ve'heim kashim la'azov darkam. Etc. Next paragraph. You will know that God is God. Elokim, hey malachim, He's above the angels. He's above all. The Ramban thinks there are things in heaven that have power. He's above that. Ki adon asher sam lahem mishtaram ba'aretz. He's the one who gave them power. V'lu agdula v'agvura v'hu anora b'tiveret uzo asher lo yisafanim. Sorry, v'lo agdula. And He has power that He won't be bribed. L'echad min elohim v'adonim lagin al avdeyem. He doesn't, right, show favoritism to any of these forces. V'lo yikach shochad mi'ar adam. And He isn't bribed. U'perusho v'shochad, meaning shafil chasid gamur shi'avor avera, even a perfect tzaddik who sins, lo yikach menu mitzvah mitzvato v'shochad l'chaper lo. Aval yanishu al cheto ugmul lo kechol tovotav. Even a tzaddik, if he sins, will be punished for that sin. V'onkelis tier game, delet kadamoy meisev apin avlo l'kabal ha'shochad. There's no one who shows favoritism and doesn't take bribes. Yitkaven lefareish shu mishabch jay hashlilut bevarei yitbarach. This is of the negatives, right? Via negativa. Right, you only know God through negatives. Yomar gaduv she'ein Hashem binyan she'isapanim. He doesn't take bribes. We don't know what he is, but he doesn't do that. Kol yirenu adam v'chay v'kol ke'ein ka'ayin negdo me'efes v'to nechshavlo. Everything compared to him is nothing. V'lo binyan she'ikach shochar v'ma adamam k'malachim v'shavdei aretz. V'nachon be'inai she'omar asher lo yisapanim l'gdolei v'nei adam b'rivan im k'tanei rem. V'likach shochar me'ashirem b'rem adal. He says, but I think the proper parish is that he doesn't accept bribery to take care of the poor. Now, what is the Ramban telling you? He has two perushim, therefore, what's pshat one? He's powerful, point one. Point two, he's kind. What's pshat number two? He's kind because he's powerful. Meaning the only type of person who can really be kind is one who's powerful. Meaning, interpretation one of the Ramban is, what does Gibor mean? Strong.
Right.
Right? What does Then the next phrase, that he's kind. What is possibility two? No, no, no. He's powerful, right? Which allows him to be kind. That, this is one big clause, right? It's continuous, right? The point that, of telling us that God is powerful, but now, therefore, going to the Ramban, right? Let's think. There are two very different ways you can read the beginning of our tefillah. One is, we say, God, you're so powerful. And the way that expresses itself in kindness, so please be kind to us. That's a comforting way of starting the first bracha of Shmoneh Esrei. According to the first pshat in the Ramban, though, Hakel HaGadol Gibor Van Arai is,
you are strong.
Even the biggest tzaddik in the world
can't touch
him. God, no. God won't show him favoritism. And if you did a single thing wrong, there will be consequences. Gadol Gibor Van Arai means that God is powerful enough to execute justice against anybody. Mm-hmm. Right? Which means at the beginning of Shmoneh Esrei, terrifying that God is saying, look, I'm absolutely just, and no matter how big of a tzaddik you are, right? I'm powerful enough to execute justice, or is it comforting, which is, I'm powerful, and what my power means is that enables me to be kind.
Right.
Even when someone else might be scared to be kind, I'll always be kind to the undertrodden. Which one? To the downtrodden. Which one does it mean? I don't know. But either way, that would affect the way you understand Shmoneh Esrei. Now, which is the Ramban's preferred explanation?
First.
Number two. Anachon Beinai.
Oh.
Right, Anachon Beinai is that no, God's power is not about power. Mm-hmm. We celebrate God's power because it's what enables him to be ultimate, the ultimate kindness, right? Whatever.
Right.
Right? Now, if this is how we start Shmoneh Esrei, right, the Ramban's preferred explanation, which is God's power, which is not what you thought it was. It's not that he wins wars. He's powerful, and therefore it allows him to be kind. Why do we start this way? I think two reasons. One is for ourselves, right? Like, oh God, right, you're powerful because you're kind, but also, as I said, because it reminds us that what is the purpose of entering into a relationship with God? It makes, we are obligated to be godly, right? That's the next words. That the reason we remind ourselves that God is Gibor, and God's Gvura is what allows him to be kind, is so that just like God is strong enough that he can be kind to the people it's hard to be kind to,
right,
we start a Shmoneh Esrei by framing our relationship with God with that descriptor of God, right?
So that he'll be kind to us.
Well, I think there's two parts to it. Yeah. One is that he'll be kind to us. The other is that it reminds us of our responsibilities in turn to other people, is that we're supposed to mimic that. Right? Which means that, again, right, we're just now halfway through the bracha. Right? But you see that suddenly, right, again, you can add 10 levels to, or 100 levels to every line of this. But you see that if you look at the psukim that Chazal are invoking from Esrei, let's just summarize and I'll take your questions up, right? We start off, what do we say? We start with Sukkim from Moshe's introduction to God, where we learn that A, it's okay to be nervous. You should be nervous the first time you meet God, right? But that you should, but that God wants us to be comfortable, and that's why he introduces us with the fact that we have a pre-existing relationship. And the way Chazal understand the words are not Elkei Avraham, colon, Elkei Avraham, sorry, Elkei Avotenu, Elkei Avraham, Yitzchak V'Yaakov, right? But our fathers too, meaning we start a relationship with God every day when you're down to Shmoneh Esrei, saying you have a relationship not just with the avot, but with our personal avot, meaning this is a continuous relationship. That, as he said, is supposed to be what calms us down even though we're not calm. We invoke Moshe at a time when he says, I'm scared because I don't know how to talk. So we start Shmoneh Esrei with, Hashem Tzvatayti Tachofi Agiti Elatecha. Okay, I don't know how to talk. But you give me the Kalach to talk, which is exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu said. We say it, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, as separate clauses, because each of them have something to add to this relationship, right? There's not some generic statement, right? They each have their unique one. And then we go to very specific descriptors, which in context, Chazal, as Chazal already told you, do not mean what you think they mean, right? How do I know that? Because Chazal say that Daniel thought Gvura meant I can crush the enemies, but it doesn't. And that's why Daniel took it out and the Anshei Knesset Agdol put it back in. Yeah, then what does it mean? Well, in context, either it means lo yikach shochad, right? He won't be bribed, right? Which is, by the way, maybe what the Bavli means, right? When it says he's gibor and they're saying that he's kovesh ritzono. He wants to save us, but he won't, because we deserve to be punished,
right.
Which is a scary overtone to the beginning of Shema Yisrael, meaning we enter into knowing that God is the God of justice, or alternatively, the Ramban's preferred explanation, which is, no, God says the reason it's important that I'm powerful is because that's what allows me to be kind. Because if you're not powerful, you can't be kind to the downtrodden because you're too scared. Right? So we actually enter into this as comfort, because God says, yes, I'm powerful, but not the way you think. Not in the overpowering way, right? I'm powerful, which means I can be kind. And presumably we invoke those images to remind ourselves the implications for ourselves is that we're supposed to mimic God. Right? But what I want to point out is that, right, Chazal don't state any of what I just said. They, right? Right, they imply it, right? Meaning there is a conversation going on. You're expected to be in conversation with, right, these imageries from images, familiar with the images that are invoked from Tanakh. Now, what I want you just to think for a minute. What would it be like if you actually started Shemar Esrei imagining that you are Moshe Rabbeinu meeting God for the first time each time? Right? Experientially, that is a radically different experience of Shemar Esrei. Right, but that's what you're supposed to be doing, right? Remember what the Avudraham said. The point of Shema Esrei, the way it's written, is to make sure that you think about it in light of the Pesukim. The Chazal are invoking images from Torah for a reason, right? How different is your Shema Esrei if, when you say the word Gibor, you don't think God can crush enemies, you think God who is kind, and that's what real power is, or what real power enables, right? That's a very different way of starting Shema Esrei. Or you enter into it and say, oh, Gibor means lo yikach shochad, I can't bribe you, no matter how good I've been, right? If I did one thing wrong, which we all have, I have to be scared, right? Again, that's not just sheer power, it's justice. And then I have to enter into it and say, with that knowledge, right? Whichever way you do it, it should change the way you begin your, right? This is halfway through the first sentence, right? But all these images are what Chazal are invoking. We haven't even gotten to El Elyon, which is from when? We won't get to it this week.
Oh, from Avram.
Good, it's from, right, from 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Right? Right? From El Elyon is... But, right? But El Elyon is from...
Malki Tzedek.
But we'll see it... Okay, maybe I'll just make this point by Kitzur, but then we'll see it more. Kel Elyon, just the fact that we get it from Malki Tzedek, right? What does that show by the fact that that's right at the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei? That tefillah is universal because we invoke God's descriptor from a non-Jew in the first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei,
right?
Right. That should strike you as quite surprising, but we'll have to get to that story because there's more to it. Okay, but we'll come back to Kel Elyon next week. I thought this would take 2 weeks. I really did. I told Zev that. So Eidos, I told him it. Yeah,
right.
David.
Okay. Could I also suggest the possibility that when we talk about when you were saying that his power enables him to be kind, more than just that he's not scared because he's powerful, and more than just that. Since he has power, like physically, he has the ability to be kind. Would you also say that then, what could you say, that since he's so powerful, that his kindness is a true kindness and not like a kindness to be gaining favor in somebody else's eyes?
Yeah, I think that's also part of it, right? Meaning it's, yes, he doesn't expect anything in return. The ultimate expression of that is that he even helps the people who have no help, right? Meaning he can also help the powerful. But the fact that he will even help the people who... for a normal person can only be counterproductive to help them, right? Yes, right, meaning...
That's also showing his power. That
right, meaning it's clearly powerful. Meaning it's power. It's power in the sense that, yeah, like, he helps people because they need to be helped, not because he's getting anything out, not because he's scared. He'll help them when they deserve it, whether it's in, quote-unquote, his best interest or not, because God doesn't have interest in that way. He can do whatever he wants, right? Exactly. But all of that is packed into these phrases, right? Okay, next week we'll continue Kel Elyon, Magen Avraham, right, things like that. But I think just from seeing the first few words, this should indicate to you, right, how much there is to be gained just by, right, doing what the Avudraham says you're supposed to do, which is seeing where did these words come from in Tanakh, and what is the meaning, therefore, of tefillah.